This is Weekday. I'm Steve Scheer. Within 48 hours of the December 7th attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, the FBI began arresting Japanese nationals as well as German and Italian nationals they considered a security risk, but they didn't stop there. In the second wave of the government's action, the rest of the Japanese-American community along the West Coast was forced to leave their homes and move to incarceration camps. This isn't just the stuff of history books. This happened to friends and neighbors, folks who are still alive, who still remember. Now 94 and living in Seattle, Mrs. Fumiko Hayashida was a wife, mother of two, expecting a third child when she was incarcerated in 1942, sent from her Bainbridge Island home to Manzanar in California.
We were the first to evacuate, first in the whole group.
So they assembled you at this ferry landing, and then from there you got on the boat?
Yes, got on the boat, went to Seattle. Then we got on the train, was waiting for us at under the viaduct there, and we went by train to Manzanar overnight.
Who was accompanying you? I mean, was it soldiers, police?
Soldiers, yes, there were a lot of soldiers, and two nurses. That's it. I don't know who the head of them was.
So they were what, armed soldiers that are walking you across,
oh,
off
yes.
The...
They all had guns. Mm-hmm. They all had guns. So nobody wanted to run away anyway. Well, like, I was only 30 years old at that time. I had two children and just found out I was going to have a third. And I was so worried. We didn't know where we were going. We knew we were going to Manzanar, but we didn't know anything. It's the first time for me to go to California. They called it Death Valley or something at that time. And, we stayed overnight on the train, and we weren't allowed to open the shade. And, I had two on in the diaper and third coming. I don't know how I did it, but they didn't have no disposable diaper those days.
Yeah, how long was the trip?
Just overnight.
Just overnight.
And it was March 31st, last day of March, when we reached Pinedale. That was a station. Then we went on the... There were bus waiting for us to take us to Manzanar. And it was hot and sandy. Ooh, I never seen a scene like that, because first time for me to go.
What was it like where you lived? So you end up in Manzanar. What was your living quarters like?
They were still building, yes. They were still building, but Ed building was building. So we were in the first barracks. They were still pounding, and all we did, just one room. It's just a shed.
Water? Showers?
No shower. I mean, at your own barrack, we were assigned to in the family, you know. More they had a bigger room, but not more than six, I think. And, of course, there's only four of us, so we had, and one had only two. They had an end room, a small room.
If you're born in Japan, you were considered, what, a greater threat?
Yes, uh-huh.
And because, where were you born?
I was born in Bainbridge Island.
Right, so you were first generation, right? You were second generation.
Second generation,
you were... You and your husband and your family.
So was right. My husband. He was born in Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were, of course, my children were, and all my sisters were. They're all American citizens. So, Bainbridge have changed. And before, we only had one sheriff. The whole island, I don't know how many sheriffs are there now. It's more than one for sure. And he was a good friend of my husband. He says, you're an American citizen. They can't send you away, you know. But my husband always said, trust your government, do what they tell you, and you won't be long. So we took it. We had to do what we have to do. And so we evacuated without no argument, no use arguing. I was so worried. We didn't know how long we were going to stay there, where it is, and what's going to happen to the children. In a way, it was nice that they were young. They didn't.
Now it's a part of this. Let it not happen again.
Yeah, I hope not. Well, not either. I don't think it will happen, you know, because government knew they did the wrong, but then I think so. It protected us.
So we think of it as such a long time ago.
It is.
But
it is a long time. 60 years ago. Isn't it?
Yeah.
About 60?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is 60.
And I think it's about time we start forgetting, huh? Well, it's in history. I don't think you'll forget, but then it'll never happen again. Because, it's really frightening when you don't know the future.
You don't seem very angry about it anymore. I wonder if you were you angry about it in the 50s, in the 60s, about what happened?
No. It's in the past. But I feel sorry for the head of the family when they were in taking care of their family. And
that's your daughter, yes? In that picture there?
This is my daughter.
Yes. Does she ever talk about this picture? Does she ever see this picture? This is a fairly famous picture.
And then we went to lots of, she's in this picture's in Smithsonian too. Then we were in a traveling program, so she does the talking, not me.
She does the talking about it, though. She was just a baby when it happened.
Well, she doesn't know. She was just a baby, so I don't know. We didn't talk about it. She's the first person that came back from school. I don't know what grade she was, maybe fifth or sixth. She said, Mom, I heard about the evacuation. Did you go? And I said, yes. And she said, why didn't you tell me about it? I didn't know anything about it. But we didn't talk about it so much. Of course, she was younger. Then she studied and but there's nothing much she could do.
You're just living your life now, yeah?
Oh, yes. We don't think about it. But I could never forget how frightened I was.
The famous picture of Mrs. Fumiko Hayashida and her daughter that is in the Smithsonian is also at our website at kuow.org. Sam Mitsui will be 79 in July. He was a sophomore in high school in 1941.
I attended Skykomish High School, and I was born there almost 79 years ago. And we pledged allegiance to the flag every morning and always thought, you know, I was an American until December 7th, 1941. Then people we thought were our friends didn't talk to us. FBI came and took our shortwave radio, my dad's old pistol, put us on a curfew from 6 in the evening till, no, 8 in the evening till 6 in the morning. So we couldn't go anywhere. And some of the families there couldn't attend their graduation because they couldn't get out at night.
When you say some of the people that were your friends wouldn't talk to you, I mean, to you personally, I mean, that happened to you. Your friends in high school,
yeah,
guys you were friends with treated you differently all of a sudden.
Oh yeah.
Like, do you remember what happened? An incident?
Well, they just wouldn't talk to you, or you know, be friendly with you. I played basketball for the team, and coach told the student body that we were all Americans, just like everybody else, but that didn't seem to make any difference. None of our teachers spoke up for us. The coach was the only one that stood up for us.
So this happened, how long after December 7th did that happen?
Well, that was early part of 42, 41 and 42.
So then when did the order for the internments come down?
That was executive order.
Yeah, I forget the number.
EO-966, February 19, 1942.
So what, and then what happened? What did your family do? What happened?
Well, they gave us a week to pack up in one suitcase each, what we could carry. And State Patrol came to Skykomish and took us in a paddy wagon to Everett. And from there, they put us on a train to the Tule Lake concentration camp.
So you were in Tule Lake in Northern California?
Yeah.
And what was that? When the train arrived, what did you see?
Well, it was still in the process of being built. Some barracks were up, which we occupied. It was a very desolate and cold area, like all the other 10 camps. But when we were leaving Skykomish, my dad worked for the Great Northern Railroad. And the people that were waving goodbye to us were German and Italian aliens that were waving goodbye to us. And I never could understand why I, as an American citizen, was being taken off to a concentration camp and they were waving goodbye to us.
You ended up joining the service, yes?
Yeah.
How long after? When did you join the service?
Well, after I graduated from high school.
So this would have been 40?
44.
44. And what regiment were you in?
Well, I was, first I was in basic training as a replacement for the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. But while I was there, my best friend, Tom Hodgie, a letter I wrote to him came back. Because he was fighting with the 442nd, came back to say that he was killed in action. And so when I finished basic training, I didn't make it to Italy because the war in Europe was over at that time. But I made a pledge that I would always remember his sacrifice and what the men of the 100th and the 442nd did in Italy.
Well, I just wonder, because you said you were on the train, you saw the German and Italian aliens waving to you, and here you were an American citizen.
Yeah.
What many people would say would have understood your anger, and yet you were among the people that chose to join the service. So what was your thinking?
Yeah. I never, ever thought I wasn't an American, even though I was being taken to the camp. I think it's just the way we're brought up that you endure, you don't make a big fuss, and you work through it.
But that it was still, you saw still as your responsibility to serve.
Yeah, because we wanted to prove that we were loyal Americans. See, they didn't put General Eisenhower into a camp because he was German ancestry, or Mayor LaGuardia of New York because he was Italian ancestry. So I later determined that it was purely racial because we're a small, non-objecting minority. Even though we're citizens, no one was ever charged with sabotage, treason, or anything like that. I know one thing that brought all this to closure was when the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association of Seattle invited our Nisei Veterans Committee to come to their memorial service on December 7th. And I kind of hesitated because I didn't know what kind of a reception we would get. This was in 2003. But a group of us went, and when we went there, we were honored guests. And during their service, they had a stand, and people there applauded. So I thought, wow, if the Pearl Harbor survivors could, you know, accept us, then who could be against us?